The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce
Southern Colorado. It's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good Thursday, Tia. Welcome to the program. Ryan and Wheels with you in studio. Obviously, NBA free agency is a living, breathing organism that constantly evolves, and every day we're having to reevaluate where the Nuggets lie in all of this. I have read something today that suggests that outside of the Spurs, Warriors, Rockets, that the Nuggets might be the next best team. Or at least if they're behind OKC, they're not behind OKC by much. So there's some people that are super bullish, and then you get people like on this show yesterday, Chris, thinking that this is maybe not even a playoff team. So you have some people that even the most hardened Nuggets fans that are saying that they're not a playoff team, but that's rare. In light of the Paul Millsap signing, a lot of people are very optimistic about what the present and future of the Denver Nuggets holds. Really, in talking with a lot of you, it seems like this is the most optimistic a Nuggets fan base has been since Carmelo Anthony left. Because once Carmelo Anthony left, you knew what was going to happen. Some of you may have drank the George Karl Kool-Aid where he told you you don't need a star or anything, but you knew, and you certainly weren't excited. Oh, yay, Carmelo wanted to leave us. So, really, for the first time since Carmelo has left, this is about as optimistic as I've seen and heard a Nuggets fan base be. And I'm trying to compare it to other teams, and the one that I thought of immediately was the Rockies. But I realized that that is silly because there is no sports team in Colorado, certainly, maybe in the Western United States, I don't know, that has a more optimistic fan base than the Colorado Rockies. That's the thing about this season for the Rockies. They haven't gained optimism. They've kept it. Rockies fans are as optimistic as anyone in April. They can make 1,000 different rationalizations on why the Rockies will be better than they have been in years past. Oh, it's health. Oh, it's pitching. Oh, the bullpen. Oh, they'll make all these. Sometimes they're excuses. Sometimes they're, you know, fair baseball points. The point is that I can't compare any fan base in Colorado to the Rockies fan base because it is unequivocally optimistic beyond anything that I have seen from any other fan base that I've been a part of. But what I can compare the Nuggets' optimism to is the Broncos. And we are all extremely excited. These 6 weeks between OTAs and training camp feel like the longest 6 weeks of our lives. We crave football. We are excited whether we're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan or a New England Patriots fan. We are excited about football, but excitement is not optimism. So my question today is, I was pondering this earlier. If I put up two teams that will start play in the fall, the Broncos and the Nuggets, which team do you feel more optimistic about when it comes to this season? Or just in general, just the general direction of the franchise. Do you feel better about the Nuggets and the Broncos? And before you laugh and say, well, that's a ridiculous notion, of course it's the Broncos that I feel more optimistic about. Just think again. Let me throw out a couple of things for you. One team is coming off of a season that exceeded everyone's expectations. They have seemingly two budding stars on their roster. Certainly Jokic, you didn't know about. I didn't know about Nikola Jokic. I knew they really liked him. I didn't know that he'd be this. Jamal Murray, I wanted the Nuggets to draft Buddy Hield. So I was proven wrong on that point. So you have these two budding stars on this team that has exceeded everyone's expectations. They're in the playoff hunt the entire season. And then on the other hand, you have a team that experienced the Super Bowl hangover. A team that we thought after their start was going to be a team that would potentially not repeat. We all believed that the Broncos weren't going to repeat, but we believed that they would go into the playoffs with a chance to defend their Super Bowl title, especially after their first four games. Well, then we find out, well, Indy, Carolina, these teams aren't that good. And so the Broncos continue to sink and sink and sink, and eventually they just sputtered to the end and didn't even make the playoffs, which was certainly below what we thought would happen with the Denver Broncos. Then you have one team that just added a perennial all-star in Paul Millsap, a guy that fits perfectly with the future of the franchise, Nikola Jokic. It's a great move. It's perhaps the biggest free agent signing in the history of the franchise. A lot of excitement, a big name coming to Pepsi Center on his own fruition. He's not getting traded here. He's not getting drafted. And then on the other hand, you have a team where the guy that you're supposed to be the most optimistic about could turn into or join a group that includes Johnny Manziel, Brady Quinn, Andre Ware, that being first-round quarterbacks that did not start the opener in year two. We're supposed to be most excited about, and maybe you don't like Lynch, Simeon or Lynch, the quarterback. We're supposed to be the most excited about the quarterback position for the Denver Broncos, and we don't know who it's going to be. We have our beliefs, but even if you say that you believe that Lynch will start and won't join that group with Manziel, Quinn, Ware, I think Tebow's in that group as well, do you feel optimistic that whoever the Broncos quarterback will be that good? Or are we looking at another season where you're hoping that the defense plays out of their mind? So just keep those little things in mind as we move forward throughout the show today. That's our question of the day. Broncos Nuggets, who are you more optimistic about? Not who are you most excited to see back on the field, because it's obviously the Broncos. I'm not a Broncos fan, and I'm more excited about the Broncos coming back because the Broncos rule our world, the sports talk radio world, and they are fascinating. But I'm more optimistic about the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets have a better shot at making the postseason this year than the Broncos do in the NFL. But I feel a little optimism for both, just more for the Nuggets. So I want to know who you are more optimistic about. You could do it the simple way, at Extra Sports 1300 on Twitter, punch up yes or no, or you can weigh in on the text line 286-0046.
It's time for Crunch Time.
What is that?
It's crunch time. It's crunch time. It's crunch time.
Andre Roberson, former CU Buff, got a $30 million contract with Oklahoma City yesterday with the Thunder. Well, Thursday morning, which is today, there is the server, the person at this establishment where Andre Roberson went and bought something, apparently, tweeted out a picture of the receipt. We've seen this story before, right? So David Rodriguez tweets out a picture of how much something cost in this restaurant. The cost was $487.13. Okay? The tip filled in by Andre Roberson was something that I do a lot, but we all round up, right? Don't you do it? You want to make it an even number? Do you do that on tips?
No.
No? I always do. I always try to make it an even number.
You're talking about the total, right?
The total.
No, I tip an even number.
You always tip an even number. Yeah, I tweet.
I don't tip pennies and dimes.
Okay, well, I do because I want to make, if all of my transactions can end in 0-0, I'm happy. So anyway.
OCD much?
Right. So $487.13 on the tip line. Andre Roberson puts $13.97. For a grand total of $500. On a $487 bill, Andre Roberson tipped less than $14. So, of course, David Rodriguez tweets at FlyDre21, get paid $30 million for 3 years and tip this, you're trash. Obviously, we've seen this before. It's like you have to tip well, right? Well, Roberson came back later today and said, shouldn't have had to tip you. It was just a bottle at a bar. There was no service. Now I can see if it was a club. You reachin', bro. So now with both sides of the story, who do you side with?
I side with him because he's right. If it's one bottle... He wasn't, like, you know, sitting at a table and waiter and all this. Like, at least he tipped. You know, that's all I'm going to say. At least he tipped.
It's tough because, and I have this problem.
I struggle with that kind of thing a lot of times.
Yes.
You know, do I tip or not
mm-hmm.
in a lot of situations? And that would be one of them. Like, if I'm not actually being serviced,
mm-hmm.
you know.
How much do you tip a bartender? That is the question, the dilemma that has been raised.
Yeah.
Because the bartender is somebody that a lot of their income comes from tips.
Yeah.
Okay? They are serving you so much as they pour your drink and they hand it to you. They're not walking across a restaurant to give it to you, but there is some level of service here.
Right.
So, if it were me, probably at least 10%.
And he went 14, right?
$14.
Oh, $14.
$14.
$400,
okay. $40 would be the tip?
Yeah, so
something like that?
He tipped pretty low.
Pretty low, okay?
He's sitting at the bar and he's handed a bottle.
I understand that. First of all, what bottle do you have that costs $487.13?
That is a very good question.
To me, it's not about service.
Yeah.
Necessarily. It's about who lives on tips. I always tip waitresses very well, servers very well.
Yeah.
Not because they're giving me an extraordinary level of service, like I'm being pampered. It's more about, I understand that if I don't tip you, you don't get paid very much, and you should be getting paid more. So I always tip probably above and beyond. Now, where am I eating? I'm eating at Denny's. I'm not ordering $487 worth of alcohol. But so I'm not patting myself on the back too much. I'm just saying, if I know that somebody is dependent on tips, I will tip well. And plus, if you're Andre Roberson, you have to do it. You just signed a massive contract.
Well, and taking into consideration, you know, he's at a bar. The other people who are tipping at that bar probably are tipping way less. Their bills are probably what his tip was.
So. Probably. Although, I don't know where you put the $13 of alcohol with the $487 of alcohol. What's driving the show's next on Extra Sports 1300?
As you're driving home, here are the three stories that are driving Drive Time Sports.
What's driving the show? Presented by Bob Pincus, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Check them out in Motor City, and you'll find out why nobody buys just one. Story number one.
Gets that into a deep left center field. Going back, Hamilton, and this one's gone. John Gray with a home run, a two-run shot with two out in the second inning. His first major league home run.
Rockies radio on the call. Good gravy. That was a shot last night. John Gray hitting it for, where's the exact total? Here it is. I have too many papers in front of me. 467 feet, longest by a pitcher since StatCast began, since they began tracking home run distance in this way since 2015 is when that started, so three seasons, and the longest by any Rockies player this year. That was that, John Gray's home run last night. And I said this earlier, Scott Feldman was throwing like pitches that Greg Maddux would be like, come on, man, you can't throw harder than that. I mean, he was throwing so slow. And all the Rockies hitters, and I experienced this when I was a pitcher in high school. I would strike out all the big time hitters, not because I was a great pitcher, but because we would go from, you know, someone throwing like 85 or 90 to somebody throwing like me who's throwing like 56 miles an hour, and they couldn't catch up to it. Or they were at way out ahead in front. And that's what you saw last night. Arenado way out in front of multiple balls, Blackman, all of them. Then John Gray gets up. He doesn't swing as quick as the rest of the guys. He catches that one perfectly. That's what happened last night. And John Gray also did the job that he's paid to do, getting the win for the Rockies on the mound. So you felt good about last night, right? 2 of 3. That they had won. All right, things are looking up. And then today happens. 6-3 is your final score. Reds split the series with the Rockies. Tyler Chatwood started off well, kind of got sideways there at the end. 6 innings, 3 runs on 8 hits, 4 strikeouts, also 4 walks on 100 pitches. But like it always is, somebody in the bullpen made it worse for everybody else. Today it was Scott Oberg. 1/3 of an inning, 3 runs on 3 hits, gave up a home run, and that was the difference in the game. Scott Oberg blowing it for the Rockies. 6-3 again is your final. Offensively, nobody really stood out today for the Rockies. Tapia goes 2-for-3. Story 2-for-4. Maybe that's a sign of good things to come, but Charlie Blackman was picked off today. Not a great way to close out the series, but another crappy team in the Chicago White Sox coming in for 3 here at the end of the week. Maybe the Rockies can sweep them and go into the All-Star break feeling a little bit better about themselves. Story number 2.
Turner with a fly ball to center field. It's deep. Pollock going back to the wall. He jumps, can't get it. It's a home run. There is nobody hotter than Justin Turner, who just hit his 8th home run of the year. The Dodgers take a 2-0 lead.
Now Moustakas, and he hammers it deep into right field. Gone.
Another home run for Mike Moustakas. The Royals have taken a 3-2 lead in the top of the fourth inning as Mike Moustakas adds to his career high. That is number 24.
Dodgers radio, Royals radio, those are the two final vote getters for the All-Star game. Justin Turner in the National League, Mike Moustakas in the American League, which is good because it would be awkward if Mike Moustakas was not voted in and he was competing in the home run derby on Monday. But both of those third basemen get in. Mark Reynolds for the Rockies ends up finishing fourth in the National League. And the other takeaway from the final vote is that Florida doesn't care about baseball because Justin Bour, who is playing in the home run derby, by the way, and is not an all-star, and Logan Morrison, who says that Gary Sanchez should be in the home run derby, both finished last in voting. But it does go Justin Turner and Mike Moustakas. So now Kenley Jansen can't say crap about Dodgers fans anymore because at least they got out the vote for Turner. Story number three is like that save. Story number three is not audio enhanced because the guy I'm talking about doesn't play a highlight position, but it is an important position. Mike Kliss of 9 News in Denver reports that Matt Paradis has been medically cleared for football activities, most notably training camp. He got the clean bill of health on Friday. If you remember, Matt Paradis has been dealing with hip trouble all season long last year. He actually didn't practice the final 10 weeks of the season, but did not miss a single game. He now will go into next season with 35 straight games, which is very impressive in today's NFL. So Matt Paradis is cleared, and he's huge. He's as important as anybody for this Broncos team. Just think about this. Last year, the offensive line we all thought was bad. Some of us thought it was the worst. Some of us didn't. But we all thought this is mediocre at best, probably not even that. Well, that was with Matt Paradis playing with like two hips that were just constantly on fire. And now he's healthy. He said he feels good. All of a sudden, you see the ripple effect through the offensive line. Paradis feels better. Last year, he played at a Pro Bowl level with two bad hips. But he faced added, everybody else on the line faced added pressure because Matt Paradis was hurt. But now you have a healthy Paradis. Now he can take on his blocks one-on-one. So now you move out. Garcia and Leary can take their blocks one-on-one. They don't have to help Matt Paradis. And then guess what Garrett Bowles doesn't have to do? Help out anybody else. He can worry about his assignment. A healthy Matt Paradis, I think, is going to make a lot of difference. The additions of Ronald Leary and Garrett Bowles, there's no doubt that those are upgrades from what they had and will make this line better. But I think that perhaps the biggest addition to the Broncos offensive line for 2017 is a healthy Matt Paradis.
Sports. You love it. We love it. Even my ex-wife loves it. Which is shocking because it shows her cold black heart is capable of loving something other than herself. Extra Sports 1300.
The UFC has a huge weekend on tap in Vegas. Friday, the Ultimate Fighter Redemption Final takes place at 7 p.m. Mountain on FS1. Then Saturday, the main event, UFC 213, goes down on pay-per-view at 8. Joining us now is one of the fighters you will see in the main event Saturday. Last time we saw her in action, she put on the performance of the night at Fight Night Denver. She has won 7 of her last 8 fights. That one loss is to her opponent on Saturday, Amanda Nunes. The number one contender for the bantamweight title, Valentina Shevchenko, is my guest. Valentina, welcome back to the airwaves in Colorado. How are you?
Thank you, Ryan. I'm very good. Very prepared for my fight this Saturday.
it's only been two fights since you fought Amanda the last time, but they were both very impressive performances. How much better of a fighter do you think you are going into this matchup with Amanda than the previous one?
This will be a totally new fight, and I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like full of power, and these two performances that I have to fight, it gave me like a lot of experience, and all training camps that I did, it gave me like a lot of something new. So I'm feeling great and ready for this fight, ready for win this fight and take the belt.
I read in a couple different places that you feel like in a lot of ways you let Amanda win, or at least you didn't give Amanda your best. What's different now than maybe then?
The different now, because now I like I prepared how no one time, and I'm prepared like the same good, like physically, the same mentally, everything like balanced, and I feel like very, very, very strong.
We had you on right before you fought Juliana Pena in Denver, and you had told me during that interview you insisted that you're not just a stand-up fighter, that you can do it all. Do you think it took finishing Juliana Pena the way you did to make the entire world of the UFC believe that you're not just a stand-up fighter?
No, it's not like this. It's I every time say that I'm martial artist, complete martial artist, and I every time my fights, it's all depends of my opponent. I will not do something just to show the world that I am. No, I will not do it nothing. I will do everything to win the fight. And every time when I see, for example, this is the moment for example, for submission, or this is the moment for striking, I use it. And every time I thinking about only one thing, to win the fight, it's for me the first. And the rest, like how to win the fight.
Number one contender for the women's bantamweight title, Valentina Shevchenko, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. She fights Amanda Nunes for the title Saturday, UFC 213, 8 p.m. on pay-per-view. You spent part of your camp just up the road from us, about 45 minutes up in Denver at 303 Academy. How have you enjoyed being in Colorado, or how did you enjoy being in Colorado?
I very like Colorado. It's a very beautiful place. It's like very good nature, and every time when I'm there, it remind me my home country, Kyrgyzstan, because it's also very beautiful mountain country. It's also altitude, and I really enjoy training there. And Academia 303 with good sparring partners, with Rosna Majunas, and every time, for example, when I train in Colorado, every training I feel like I have to push me. First, it's because of altitude. It's very hard to train in there, but in the same moment, it give you like very, very big resistance for whole fight. And fight of 5 rounds, 5 minutes, it's not like a sprint. It's all marathon, so you have to be prepared for this.
Do you think that Colorado will be some place that you spend a lot of your time going forward?
Everything is possible, but we will, I very love to travel. I love to travel and training in different places. For me, it's every time very good to meet new people, to see new places, and I really enjoy to do this kind of life that I have.
Yeah, you mentioned the travel. You also spent part of your camp in Thailand. It must be that film director side of you that wants to see all these places and all these people. I read that was your degree in college. So is that something that you plan on putting to good use when your fighting career is over, maybe getting into the movie business?
Of course, I would like to work on my professional specialty. I was finished University of Arts, and my profession is film director. And I would like to do something on my professional career. But for now, all that I'm focused in, it's on my professional fighter career, on my sport. And but anyway, I already like starting to see for something for the future.
Do you have any time to go out and see movies while you're training, or is it on lockdown and you don't get out much while you're training for a fight?
Not much. I prefer if we are get out for anywhere, it would be some kind of beautiful nature near the lake, so something like this to recuperate all energies that we spent on the training, because my training is every time very intensive and very hard. And after training, you feel like I don't want to go no one place, and to go into the nature and every time like give me more power to continue my training camp.
Well, you need to come down south next time you're in Denver. You need to come down south a little bit to Colorado Springs. We have Garden of the Gods, the Manitou Incline, Pikes Peak, where if you're looking for nature, this is the place to go. So we'll discuss that after Saturday's fight. Valentina Shevchenko joining us. Have you imagined what it's going to feel like, what it's going to be like having that belt put around your waist on Saturday?
All my concentration is going for the fight, because it all depends the fight, good fight, victory fight, and then you don't have to imagine any feelings that you will have after this. But for me, the most important is the fight, and I don't like to think what it will be after, because for creating that you are wanted to create, you have to be concentrated in the totally present time.
What do you anticipate will happen on Saturday? What are you game planning for Amanda Nunes? What do you think that she's going to come out trying to do?
I will do everything that I have to do to win the fight. I'm ready for everything. It doesn't matter what she will do, because I'm ready. And she could start like very fast, or she could start like thinking to winning by points, to not running out of gas for the rest of the fight. But doesn't matter for me. I will look for to finish her as soon as I can and give all my best to do the best performance and put all my heart on the fight.
You can follow Valentina on Twitter at Bullet Valentina. Watch her take on Amanda Nunes for the bantamweight title Saturday at UFC 213, 8 p.m. on pay-per-view. Valentina, we're happy to have you here in Colorado. We'll adopt you as one of our own. We'll have to talk again very soon. Best of luck against Amanda on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Thank you.
Valentina Shevchenko, the number one contender for the women's UFC bantamweight title, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Yet another fighter who has seen the light and has moved their camp out here to Colorado. As far as UFC 213 is concerned, I know we're all disappointed that we won't see Cowboy Cerrone and Robbie Lawler, but this is still a really good card. This fight between Valentina and Amanda is going to be dynamite. That women's bantamweight division just keeps getting better and better. You thought Holly Holm was pretty much done. She gets a huge knockout her last time out, of course, Raquel Pennington right here in Colorado Springs. She's up and coming in the division. We don't know what's going to happen with Ronda Rousey, but you have two fighters who are the elite of the elite, Amanda Nunes and Valentina Shevchenko, squaring off for the title on Saturday, and I'm excited to see it. Again, you can catch it on pay-per-view at 8 p.m. That's going to do it for the show. Thanks to Valentina Shevchenko. Thank you for listening. Drive Time Overtime coming up next here on Extra Sports 1300.